Wow, I'm sitting back in the back, and have a seat, thank you. And just kind of hanging out back there, listening. And the things that were talked about up here, the manifestations, I hope you really listened and are retaining some of that, because you're going to hear it throughout the teaching. You're going to hear very similar things from the Word of God that were in the manifestations. And also the testimonies and what Todd shared, you know. There's just so much treasure in God's Word. And, you know, Todd was talking about statistics, and there's certainly statistics out there, and there's scientific facts, and there's, you know, this chart and that chart. But none of those things are greater than God. And so many times we see situations where it looks hopeless by your five senses, or impossible according to statistics or scientific facts. And then pow, God's power gets manifested. And what happens? It covers all of that stuff. That stuff is just gone because the power of God has been manifested. It was very cool because I know what I'm teaching. So I'm sitting back there going, wow, okay, well, that could, okay, that's done. But actually it's all going to pull together, and as I begin to share the word with you, you'll understand what I'm talking about. So do you guys want to hear what I'm going to teach? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to continue some of the theme from the camp this week, this month as we're teaching. Maybe even next month. I don't know yet. But I know that we can understand a volume of God's word. We can look at the words on the page. We can look at it. We can understand what it says right where it's written. And sometimes we have to look at the context, and we have to look where it's used before. And sometimes we have to look up Greek words to gain an understanding of God's word. But when you do that, God's word fits together like a hand in a glove. It really does fit. When you go to the scriptures and you allow God to teach you, your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. And today I want to talk about a specific thing here. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. And this is the Apostle Paul. And this is the book of Ephesians, right? And who is Ephesians written to? Excuse me, say it again? Okay, but it's even more specific. The faithful in Christ. So I guess if God opens up an epistle that's to the faithful in Christ, it could mean we could be unfaithful in Christ, right? So this is written to the faithful in Christ. This is written to God's people that have learned his word and have endeavored to the best of their ability to walk his word. That's who this instruction is specifically written to. Can others learn from it? Sure, just like we can learn from the Old Testament accounts. But this is written to us, from God, through Paul, to us. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, each and every one of you in the room, is talking to you and me. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called. Walk worthy of the vocation. That's what I want to look at today. First of all, we're going to see this is only used in four other places in the church epistles, actually in the Word. The walk worthy of your vocation. And it's actually translated walk worthy of your calling, because the word vocation is calling from the Greek. And it's walk worthy of the vocation wherein, or the calling, ye are called. Okay, then he gives us some instruction on how to walk that way. We're to walk that way with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, or a better translation is bearing up one another in what? Love. Endeavoring takes work. Everything we look at today is going to be something you're going to have to do. God's done his part by putting his spirit in us. But now he's asking us to participate in this relationship. Endeavoring, and endeavoring means to work at it. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. Now, does God ask us to do something that we cannot do? No, he does not do that. Does God make us do something? Take away our free will? No, he doesn't do that. God is a God of love and light. In him there is no what? So right off the bat, to walk worthy of your calling, you know that if there is darkness surrounding what you're getting ready to do, that's not a calling of God, is it? That's pretty simple. The other real simple measure is to get yourself lined up, because sometimes, you know what, we miss the mark. Sometimes we get emotional, and our emotions kind of rule our thinking. So we don't really keep it in balance with the word. So the next mark is, how are we to keep this unity and this bond of perfection? How are we supposed to do that? In what? Love. Love, 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 love. Love, love, love. And I'm not talking about an emotional, worldly love. I'm talking about an unconditional love of God that is there in your life because of the Spirit God put within you that you now can manifest towards one another. So is there anything God hasn't forgiven you for? Nope. So if you have his Spirit in you, which is what the word says, when you confess Jesus as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, you're made whole, right? Sozo, body, soul, spirit, whole. And his gift of Holy Spirit is part of the package you get, right? So, if you get his Spirit, do you have his love inside you? Now, he gives us these things to utilize them. That's the key of walking your calling. You utilize the Spirit of God in your life. You go to his word. You see what his word says on how to treat one another. Look at Jesus Christ, because you can't do it without him. We can't do this stuff without God and Jesus Christ in our life. We can't do it in our own strength. So we are to walk worthy of our calling. I want you to look at Colossians chapter 1, because this is the other place, one of the other places it's used in, this walk worthy. Chapter 1, verse 10. This is also an epistle that says it's written to the faithful brethren in Christ. Okay, so that includes us. Verse 10, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord. Walk worthy of who? Unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now in Ephesians, God directs us in walking in love, right? And in lowliness of mind, in humbleness, in meekness. Working, endeavoring to keep the unity of the body, right? Now, we get a little more information about walking worthily in this verse. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Pleasing who? Yourself? No. Of the Lord means him. Pleasing him. Being fruitful. What does that mean, being fruitful? Fruitful. You bear fruit from a godly source. Remember, this is to the faithful in Christ. So when we're talking about our works, we're not talking about working our way into heaven, because Jesus Christ already accomplished that for us. But he, as you're going to see, we've been called to do good works. And that's what this is talking about, being fruitful. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, meekness. What else? Say them. Oh, come on. Let's look at them. Look at Galatians. Such there is no law. That's right. There's nine of them. So look it up, Galatians 5, 22, 23. Look in there if you can't remember them. But that's the fruit we're supposed to be manifesting. We're supposed to be manifesting love. We're supposed to be manifesting peace. And that word manifesting just clearly is it's just what happens in your life. It's the outside. It's what you show on the outside of what's happening on the inside of you. Right? Okay. So we're in Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. being fruitful in every good work. And here is a huge key. Increasing in the knowledge of God. Okay, so if we're going to walk worthy of this calling that God has called us to, and we're going to see who does the calling, then we need to be increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, I've been involved in the work of the ministry for 37 years. And there is not a day that goes by that God does not teach me something new. And I am totally serious. And it may be just a tiny little thing, but for me, it makes a difference in how I understand him and how to work with him and how to do the things he wants me to do in his will instead of my own. So we want to be increasing in the knowledge of God. And where do we go to increase in the knowledge of God? How do you get to know God as a young Christian? Right here, his word. This is where you'll find the heart of God. This is where, especially in the church epistles for a young Christian, this is where you begin to understand that God is all light and in him is no darkness. That his love, there is nothing greater. There is nothing more faithful than our God. There is not a source out there that wants the very best for our life greater than our Father. This is where we learn about him. And as we learn and increase in the knowledge of God, then we begin to have the trust, the faith, the believing, the confidence that God says what he means. And if I trust him instead of the circumstances I see or the statistics I read, or what my best friend may be telling me. Job had miserable comforters. They were trying to help Job, but they weren't directing him to God. And if you're not being directed to God by somebody when you're in need of help, then you need to go find somebody else. They may have great, good intentions, but it's God that delivers us. It's God that leads our life if we allow him to. So we want to increase in the knowledge of God. Go to 1 Thessalonians. Couple more books back. Chapter 2. Here's the other place this is used. This phrase, walk worthy or walk your calling, worthy of your calling. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12. That ye would walk worthy of who? God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Who does the calling? We're to walk worthy of God. God has made us worthy. He has justified us, sanctified us, redeemed us. We are seated in the heavenly spiritually with Christ. That's what his word tells us. He has called us to live that kind of lifestyle. And he's the one who does the calling. I didn't do the calling. Probably good idea I didn't, because I'm not God, and I don't know what everybody's long suit is and how everybody fits together in this body the way God has put us together so it functions to the maximum of the capacity that he has created it to. Look at the heavens and the earth. Look at the stars. Look at the universe. He created all of that, every bit of it. He created that. And yet in his word, I think we're going to see it in some of the scriptures we're going to go to, he calls us his masterpiece. Really, God? Yeah, Vic, really. You're my masterpiece. Yep, you know those stars and all that stuff? I did that for you to look at. Now, some people may think that's haughty to think like that, but I think that's what God's word tells me. And if that's how God wants me to think, that's how I need to think. So there, those three places we just looked at, I want you to go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Those are the three places where that phrase, that you walk worthy of your calling, here in Ephesians it says vocation, but the Greek translation would be calling. We're going to look at the word work. I mean walk, not work, walk. We're going to take that first word there, walk. And we're going to look at what this word means from the Greek. And then we're going to look at the scriptures where, and we're only going to look at some of them because it's used like over 63 or 65 times. I can't remember exactly, but we don't want to look at it at all of those places because then you guys wouldn't have these great refreshments that Susie's made later. We'd all be starving to death by then. But the word walk is to tread around, to walk at large. Especially, now here's the key, okay, it's not just, okay, I'm just going to walk around, hey, hi, how you doing, great, I'm walking, okay, God, I'm a walking today, yep, I'm walking around, yep, yes, sir, I'm a walking, well, you know what, that's not what that means, there's more to it, it's to walk around especially as proof of ability. Now, what ability are we talking about? The ability of God and Christ in us. God does the calling, correct? So he knows what calling's on Bob's life. He knows what's calling's on Judy's life, my life. If I understand that this is what God has called me to be, now listen to what I'm saying. Thank you, Judy. Was it you? I didn't see you. Thank you, Jeannie. If God does the calling, now think about this. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, says to you, this is the calling I've placed on your life. And you walk with me, and you work with me, and you allow me to direct your path, and your calling will be a blessing to the body of Christ. Okay? Let's just say, you had this conversation with God today. Now, you come to fellowship, and you're like, God, man, I have a calling. Great, that's cool. And then I start to teach. And then you sit there and go, God, I wish I was teaching. Man, I'd really like to teach. You know what? Maybe Vicky's a good teacher, but God, if God only called me to teach. Ever have that happen? And I wish I could run the meeting. See, all of a sudden, this wonderful calling that God, the creator, you guys, decided was the best thing for your life, you start thinking about how it could be a little bit better if I could do it this way. And don't say nobody's ever gone through this. We've all gone through it. Come on. It's human nature. It's called temptation from the adversary. Because you know what? If we understand our calling, and if you don't understand what your calling is, get quiet with God. He'll show you. Because it's part of the body of Christ and how he wants us to work together. He'll tell you. And then embrace that one. Because he will take that calling in your life and he will open up doors for you to minister and serve in many different capacities. But do it in God's timing. Do it with God's direction in your life. And you'll begin this walk of worthiness. And I'm telling you, it is a blast. It is so much fun to walk with God. And it is so exciting because sometimes you find yourself doing things you never in your life thought you would ever do or were capable of doing. And then you see the effect it has on someone's life. It turns them to God. And you see this godly, wonderful person start to come out. And you realize, man, God, I am so thankful that you allow me to be a part of this. And that's where the meekness and the lowliness of mind comes in here in Ephesians. But I want to look at, I'm going to get there. I want to look at this word walk. Look at Romans chapter 6. Because God gives us instructions on how to do what we need to do. He doesn't just say do it and then, okay, figure it out, have fun, see you later. No, it's not our God. He's right there at every turn. You know, like Grace, you know, and the situation with her job. You know, she said she just got a little kick from a couple of people. Well, I was one of those people. All I had to do, she called me and said, I just don't know, Vicki. I don't know much about. I said, Grace, you're forgetting who you are. You're God's daughter. It is God and Christ in you. You are going to be valuable to those people no matter what position they plan to put you in. So, come on, girl. Get it. Get it together. Remember who you are and make that call. They're lucky that you're asking to work for them because you operate God's principles and you will bring business to that company. And then, you know, that's right. I'm like, that's right. You know, sometimes we're just pep leaders, cheerleaders for one another, reminding each other. But see, that's how it works. The world tries to talk you out of who you are. The world tries to get you not to understand the greatness of what God's called you to do. And we have to be there for one another. And we don't always agree on everything, do we, Grace? No. Mm-mm. You know, sometimes Grace and I have to, like, work things out once in a while. Big deal. The most important thing for Grace and I is God's word and God's love. And if that is the center of how we walk, the calling God has called us to, no matter what calling it is in the body, you will shine and you will minister and it will be healing. And isn't that what we want to do with our lives? I mean, you know, some of us have secular jobs, you know, that they're just secular jobs. You know, and we do our best at them, and we love people on our secular jobs, but it's ministering in the body of Christ. It's allowing God to work within you, to will to do of his good pleasure, to help a brother and sister in Christ, first and foremost. And you know what happens? People see us living that walk. They see us living the walk, and they go, I want that. God, how do you do that? You know, I used to work at a school district, and in the break time, all the women would be there. And I swear, man, they would talk about their husbands. And it wasn't very nice most of the time. Oh, he's this, he's that. I can't. And I never said anything. I just sat there and spoke in tongues, basically. Because I'm like, I want to get up and knock some heads together, you know. Ladies, maybe you ought to look at yourself. But oh, I didn't. And one day, this one lady turned to me and she goes, you never say anything about your husband. And I said, well, ladies, I'm really a blessed person. I have the most magnificent husband in the world. He doesn't belong to the club that you guys are talking about. So I don't talk about him that way. And they're like, really? And I'm like, really? Nothing? I said, oh, come on. Of course he has little things that irritate me. I do little things that irritate him. But his heart is full of love and concern and compassion and care, not just for me, but for people that he runs into. That's my husband. So I can't really talk about him with you guys because your husbands obviously don't do that. And they're all, I'm telling you, after that, they never talked about their husbands when I was there. I don't know what they did when I wasn't there. But it was the truth about my husband because that's how he lives and that's what he manifests. And so people are drawn to that. And if we live like that and manifest our lives according to how God directs us, you know what? We're going to be those shining lights. This word walk could be and should be in Ephesians chapter 4 translated live. It's not just a walking. It's a proof of ability. It's life. It's how you live your life. Figuratively, it actually means live. So look at Romans 6:4. We're going to just look at what the word says about it, okay? Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him, with Christ, by baptism unto death. And as like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father. Who raised him from the dead? God. Even so, we should walk. That word walk is the same word we're looking at. Live, live. That's really the power of that word. Live in the newness of life. So God wants us to live in the newness of life of who? Christ. Right? Look at Romans 13. 13:13. Let us walk. Same word. Let us live honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chamberlaining and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If we did these two verses in the Christian churches all across the country today, the divisions, the strife, all that stuff that happens, the disagreements, the arguments, they wouldn't be there. It would disappear. If we could walk honestly, live honestly like God asks us to, and put on the mind of Christ. And there is the biggest key for us to live our calling, is putting on the mind of Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Here's another usage of that word. These are God's directions to us, you guys. He tells us to walk this way, and then he puts all these verses in his word about living life, walking this way. It's kind of amazing. This is a great rule book. It's a great book full of wonderful information. We just have to get in there and dig it at times. Ephesians 2, verse 10. Now look at this. For we are his workmanship. Another translation is, for we are his masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should what? Walk, live in them. We live in the good works of Jesus Christ. How do you do that? How do you live that way? Well, first of all, you got to know what the works of Jesus Christ were. You got to go to the Word and see how he walked. Look at his compassion. Okay, you talk about compassion. He is dying on the cross, and Judas has betrayed him. And what does he say? Forgive them, all of this, these people that have crucified me, Judas, these people that have turned their back on me. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You have Christ in you. If you've confessed Romans 10, 9 and 10, he lives in you. But you have to put that compassion on. You have to put that quality of forgiveness on in your life and live it. Walk that way. Live that way. Speak that way. Forgive that way. When you're moved with compassion for someone, maybe you don't even know. Maybe you're in the grocery store and there's somebody having a hard time paying for the food that they're trying to buy, and they have a little girl or a little boy with them, and your heart goes, oh, they shouldn't be living like that. You know what? Ask God what to do at that moment. He may tell you, pay for their food. He may tell you, go over there and wait for them and speak my word to her. He may just tell you to give her a hug and tell her to have a good day. But if you do, if you live what God tells you to live in that moment, it is going to make a change in that woman's life. And you may not see it at that moment, but God will be working. That's how we walk worthy of how God called us. That's how we do it. We live this word of God. We live Christ-like in our day-by-day walk. It's not about just coming to fellowship. What good does it do to know this stuff if we don't do it? It just puffs us up, head knowledge. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 2. Here's a good one. I'll start in 1. I love this section. You know, God thinks so highly of us. You know how I know this? Because I'm going to read these two verses. And I tell you, the first time I ever read them, I was like, yeah, all right, okay, sure. Here we go. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Hello? Number one, that word followers, a better translation is be ye imitators. Imitators of God? As dear children. And do what? How do we imitate God? What does God want us? The first thing he puts in this, walk in love. And then he not only tells us to walk in love, he gives us the example of who to follow that love with. And who is that? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Now, God is not a man that he should lie. God does not tempt us. Neither is he tempted a man. So God's not going to tell us to do this if it's not within our ability to control our emotions and our thinking and do it. It is not about you anymore. It's about God and Christ in you ministering in the body of Christ. And what that part is for you is between you and God. But whatever it is, do it with your whole heart, mind, and strength. And do it with Christ being your example. And sometimes you're going to have to stop yourself because emotions are strong and they're powerful. But God is bigger and his love is more powerful and his direction is more powerful. And that's where we want to live, isn't it? To walk worthy of this calling, and we might as well. There's a heck of a lot more joy in it to do it than not do it. I can guarantee you. Ephesians 5, verse 8. Here's this word again. Oop. It's not the right one. That's 4, Vicki. Look at 8. Okay, here we go. It says, "For ye were sometimes darkness." That's us. Remember in Ephesians chapter 2, it talks about how we were dead in trespasses and sin without hope and without God? That's where we were. This is where we are. We were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light. Light in the Lord. That's where our light comes from. Walk as children of light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Proving. Remember that definition I read to you about walk, that word, Greek word for walk, is as proof or ability. Proving what? What is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in silent. But all things that are reproved are made manifested by what? The light. If you've got areas in your life that you want to change, that you don't understand yet, introduce them to what God says. Introduce yourself, okay, in that area to what God has to say about it. And the light of God's word will dispel the confusion and darkness. It's that simple. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you live or walk circumspectly. And you know what circumspectly means? Diligently, accurately. See that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know what? God wants us to walk circumspectly. He wants us to walk diligently. It takes an effort. If you really want to know God and his word, you have to put in some effort. And you have to change your mind. You know, many times what happens is there's doctrines laid down, denominational doctrines, rules that men decide in that church or that fellowship we have to abide by. You know what? That's not what the word says. This is what we abide by, right here. And he tells us to walk circumspectly, to walk diligently, to walk in light, to walk in love, to put on the mind of Christ. Because that is the only way we can do this. I want to go to Colossians chapter 2. This is a great section. Colossians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so live ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's how we're to live. We have the ability to live that way. We have the knowledge we need. You know what? Jesus Christ, I think it's Philippians chapter 2. We'll probably close in this section right here. Jesus Christ set this great example. And it's, you can't make it any clearer than what God has made it in this section. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. This is what Jesus Christ did. He was the Son of God. He could have had anything he wanted at any moment. Remember when they were taking him and Peter gets all shook up and he cuts the guard's ear off and he looks at Peter and says, don't you think I could have 72,000 legions of angels right now? He knew who he was, and he knew the power that God gave him as his son. We need to know who we are and the power that God has put within us, and we need to put it on in our thinking and live accordingly. Todd gets a demotion, and he makes more money this year. You talk to the experts, that's impossible. Really? Not with God. No, it's not. But he obeyed God, didn't he? And watch what happens here. But he took into himself no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he, Jesus Christ, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ states over and over, I always do my Father's will. I've come to do the will of the Father. I must be about my Father's business. I speak for the one who sent me. He always was obedient to God's word. Always, always, always. Now, I am not always. Getting better. Getting better. God doesn't expect perfection in us. Our perfection is in Christ. But God does expect us to listen and obey his voice, because that is the only way he can direct our paths. If we walk the other way, I'm going to guarantee you, I've done it. I have walked the other way. And God did not come back and go, hey, get over here and do this. Now, when Josh was little, I could do that. All you know, Josh, there's no way I can do that now, but don't tell him I said that. But I would grab him and say, son, now listen to me. God does not do that. God doesn't just, now he might send someone else and say, hey, Vic, you ain't looking too good. You know, you don't look blessed. Yes, he'll still work in our lives. But if we refuse to be obedient to his voice, are we going to get the results that he's trying to give us? No, because in the beginning, I'm going to ask him why when I get up there after the gathering. He gave us free will. Why didn't you just, you know, have a little button in us you could push so we could get it back together? No, he wanted people to love him freely, and he gave us a free will to choose. That's why there's so much direction on how to do this right, guys. And it's in here. Got to spend time with the Father. Got to spend time looking at Jesus Christ's life. This guy, you know, these guys, he's getting ready to die, and these guys are fighting on who's going to be the highest in the kingdom. Who am I going to sit on your right-hand side? No, I'm going to sit. No, I'm sitting on his. He just looks at these guys and goes, okay, everybody sit down. He puts an apron on and begins to wash their feet, which freaks them out because that's the lowest thing a servant can do. What is he teaching them? It's in you serving one another that you are great. God makes you great in your serving to one another. What an example we have how to live our life, how to walk worthy of our calling. And God set this up, guys. These are not my words. These are God's words. He called us to walk worthy. And you're not here by a mistake. God does not make mistakes. You are where God wants you to be. Now, it is your responsibility to react, not react, but to live and put into manifestation the things that he has taught you today. It's my responsibility to do it. And you know what? Do you think Jesus Christ is blessed today? Think about it. Where is he seated? Is he the only one seated in the heavenlies with God? God. He gets to work with us. I think he likes that. I think Jesus Christ likes a challenge, personally. Because God sure didn't make it easy for him, did it? Because it couldn't be. But he did it. He was obedient. And that's something else we need to really take a look at in the Word. But we're not going to do it today. Is to be obedient to God's Word. But right now, let's just try to let this stuff soak in and allow God to show each and every one of us as an individual what we can do to bless somebody's life, which in turn will make your life even better. Okay? Okay. God bless.